One problem with today's session here in my library is that because I actually don't know who I'm talking to at the moment, I don't know how much to explain and how much to take for granted. And what background knowledge do you have here? I know if I'm explaining too much, I apologize. I know this is an example of what we call the surimono genre. It's a subgenre of ukiyo-e prints. And although the word surimono just means literally printed thing, and it was used later on actually for a small genre of things like printed envelopes and things like that, back in these days, it was used for this very special subgenre of commissioned prints. These were not items that were prepared for sale and thus, you know, tried to meet a mass market. These were commissioned by private groups, in this case, a poetry group, who would have commissioned an artist and a woodblock printmaking workshop to produce a collection of these. They were done in very small groups, probably 20, 30, 40 copies of each, and just enough to pass around the members of the group. There was no question whatsoever of selling these things. And because of this, and because these men were, these were rich people doing this as a leisure activity, the financial aspect didn't come into it at all. They were willing to pay as much as was necessary to make as beautiful object as could be produced. And perhaps, too, there was an aspect of one-upmanship. You know, the guy made one last year and you're commissioning it this year, so you want to, get yours quite spectacular. And so money was poured into these things. The man who designed this one, Kubo Schumann, ran a workshop for making surimono, and he had a big name, big reputation, and you can bet he didn't come cheaply. These guys paid a lot of money to have this done. The poetry on here, now and then we see people trying to make attempts to translate it, but honestly speaking, it's absolutely pointless to try and do so. All we can say is it's allusions to a specific theme that was set for this particular event, and in this case, something to do with flowers, something to do with birds, or maybe two birds as a partnership, or who knows. But the poetry is so full of twisted allusions that were to do with things of the day that it really makes no sense to translate it now. It's like one of those jokes that are so complicated that by the time you finished writing it down and explaining it, what was the point of it? There just really isn't any meaning. So for us now, and this too was true for the men back then, the visual beauty of this thing is really the main point. Actually, before I go on any further, I should mention that what we're looking at here is not the original. This would have been made by Schumann's workshop back in, I think this one was done about 1810 or maybe 1820, I'm not sure. But what you're looking at here is a copy of a Meiji era reproduction of this. And this would have been made in the 1890s. A workshop in near Kobe, where there were many foreigners in Japan at that time, had the idea of reproducing a bunch of these old surimono. And it's a bit curious why they would do this, because the stuff at first glance would not be specifically of interest to foreigners because of all the calligraphy and things like this. But they did this, and apparently with every intention of selling them to foreigners. And nowadays, when we see these reproductions, they're almost invariably turned up in Europe and sometimes in America. And very, very few are found in Japan. So it does seem that they mostly left the country back in the 1890s. And what to talk about? I tell you, where do you start? I mean, this is it's a two-dimensional object on the face of it, but actually it's not. It's almost completely three-dimensional. You can see the lettering, of course, because it's carved so finely and is embossed into the beautifully rich paper. It has a three-dimensional aspect of its own. But over and above this, the thing, how do you start to explain it? We have the katazuri technique, where something is carved on a block and then rubbed from the back, and the pattern leaves an embossed pattern in the paper. That's pretty much two-dimensional plus a little bit. This one is different. This is done with what's called the kimedashi technique. And if you look at one of the pop-ups here that shows the back of the paper, you can perhaps see that the paper has depressions. When you've seen from the back, the depressions where it's been pushed down by a tool or something hard into carved depressions on the face of the block. So seen from the front, these things stick up. And this has been done on the blossoms, and on the peacock's tail there. It's a peacock, is it? And on his breast, around his cheeks and eye. And sometimes it's a bit too much, and these big bumps sort of gets to be a bit grotesque. But on a print like this, they just look, it looks absolutely fantastic. There's no way that something like this could ever be, put on a wall, or, you don't put it in a frame and look at it. You keep it tucked away. It stays in a drawer, and this is the way even those poetry guys would have used this. They would have kept them in drawers or in a little box somewhere. And when an honored guest comes, much like today, you serve them tea, and then I would like to show you something very nice. And the guest, his eyes opens wide, and the two of them would look at this thing on the table and just drink in the pleasure of this beautiful object. What's the meaning of it? What's the purpose of it? What can I say? It's just just for the fun of making something that just looks drop dead gorgeous and beautiful. They were made for, you know, kind of elite, sophisticated people, and we can think of ourselves in that term, surely.